TWO Radio at Radio Stormer on the Daily Stormer.com.
Hello and welcome to Truth Will Out Radio. Today's date is the 3rd of July 2015. You're listening to me, Sven Longshanks. And before I introduce my co-host, I'll just remind people that we do have a live stream. We do have a chat room. You can subscribe to our podcast. You can follow the feed. And you'll find all that in the right-hand sidebar of the DailyStormer.com site. It's just underneath Andre's Twitter feed. You'll see that there's a big picture of an eagle there, and all the hot links are underneath that. If you click on the eagle, that will take you to our chat room, where you'll find lots of friendly people that think similarly to you. Okay, now that's out of the way, I'll introduce my co-host, Dennis Wise. How are you doing today, Dennis?
Well, fine. I haven't been up long. You'll probably find out the reason why later on in this, programme. But yeah, everything's great. Cheers, yeah. Self?
Yeah, pretty good. The weather's good. It's fine. I love Britain in the summertime. You really wouldn't want to be anywhere else. Beautiful greenery. Well, it's just beautiful, isn't it?
It's actually sun shining here at the moment, which is great. That's 2 days we've had this year.
Yeah, they keep saying there's going to be a heat wave, but we have had some rain, and I haven't seen much of this heat wave. I think that's just down in London. They seem to think London covers the whole of the country, really, don't they?
That's the end of the earth, Nothing else exists.
Well, I think, you've had a bit of a depressing week, I hear, Dennis, or a bit of a shock from what you were telling me about. Do you want to let the listeners in on this?
Well, it's not totally unexpected. In fact, I give credit to the guys on the YouTube channel for keeping it up for so long. We were actually aiming to get 1 million hits. We got to just over three quarter million hits. And I always had a feeling that that significant 1 million was always going to be a problem. I think it was early on this week, Monday or Tuesday, can't really remember now, but woke up and probably one of the biggest purges ever on the internet, because nearly every single episode or feature of The Great Story Never Told had been muted right across YouTube, whether it be in Greek or in Arabic translations, or just anybody just uploading the odd episode, suddenly woke up and there was no soundtrack. And it's obviously a concerted attack by our friends who obviously thought the truth was getting out too far, too much and too long, decided to take drastic action. And unfortunately at the moment it's on YouTube. It's probably a no-go to try and find any of the parts, apart from part 26 on my channel. That's still up for some reason. That's just the sources. not to be unexpected.
So they've taken down all the foreign language versions of it as well. It must have been time to be done at the same time. They must have had an operation where they searched out.
It looked like a military operation over the weekend, I think. And they pressed the button and complete wipeout of the track.
Found all the different copies of it in the different languages. I assume they would have had different titles. The titles would have been written in a foreign language as well.
Well, the thing is that there are certain ways around YouTube. I mean, I should know because I've probably had videos taken down so many times on it. But they are getting a bit more cute at it. I'll give you an example, one of the communist episodes, there was a part where they're giving out awards at the Hollywood Movie Awards. And I originally uploaded it in HD as part of part of the documentary, and it got muted. So what happened was that I was able to find a version on YouTube with kind of a scene, and the sound was like recorded from the TV, the same scene. So what I did is I separated the track and the vocal and put it on the HD version and re-uploaded it with the documentary, and it's still up there, which means the spiders of YouTube haven't caught it. Do you get me?
So you think maybe they're using some kind of software that picks out the
soundtrack,
the particular soundtrack, in order to remove it?
Yeah, well, previously to that, what I used to do, I got a video banned a couple of years ago, and when they took it off, what I did again is I separated the the vocal track from the movie track and put a live version of the same song on and re-uploaded it, and that stayed up. So, yeah, there's something to do with kind of a spider which picks up the soundtrack and possibly picks up the visual as well, but it didn't in the case of the Hollywood Movie Awards, the Oscars.
Well, that's interesting to know that's the way that they're doing it. I mean, I'm assuming that you've still got copies of it available at TrueTube. Obviously, Mike Delaney's TrueTube was set up specifically for that purpose, wasn't it?
That's a blessing, yeah, I've got to be honest. Yeah, it is a blessing, that, because it's always... I mean, you see, we use YouTube for that purpose, but the problem is, like, you really are preaching to the preached or converted on TrueTube, whereas on YouTube, obviously, it's got a bigger following, and you're reaching more people who wouldn't normally go on TrueTube. Even like the Nazi version of World War II. So, but yeah, it plays a valuable part. There's Mike with TrueTube, without a doubt.
Now, I think the beauty with that is you can link to it in places, and then when people follow the link to see it, then they find all the other information that's available on TrueTube.
Yeah, so, when one door shuts, another door opens and opens up opportunities, for, as you say, for people to see the other videos that are up there. Yeah, sure. Yeah, yeah.
Did they give any reason for why they've
I forgot about that. I think, you see, I don't run that channel. The website people run that YouTube channel of The Great Story Never Told. And they received 200 emails that day from... various parts of copyright. Well, use the excuse of the music, right? And I'm saying it's the excuse because I got that music off YouTube anyway. And right. I'm quite sure, there's a number of videos use the same bits of music, in other videos, and they're still up there. So it's obviously political. But yeah, they got 200 emails that particular day. But it did well, to keep, I mean, like I said, it was up there for about 250,000 hits, which in itself was surprising. But there was one or two others, 1.5 million hits, which other people had uploaded, some older versions as well, and all of them were struck as well. So it was like, one clean sweep. It was like a D-Day landing.
it must be a shock, but I mean, it's something that you were expecting. I mean, you've had it before, but not, to such an extent.
You said it was like a military organization. I mean, I've had channels taken down before. In fact, I've got channels up on YouTube I can't even remember the password to, and they're still up there, with various videos on. But, that one was a concerted effort, but it just goes to show the fear that it was bringing. I mean, I don't think, and I'm not just saying it because I did this, but I don't think there's been a documentary in the history of filmmaking what has... changed so many people's opinion about such a subject, which one would think was impossible. I mean, I've had huge amounts of emails from people who said, like, they now realise what Adolf Hitler was, but never did before, and could never believe in a month of Sundays that after watching a documentary they would change their mind completely. And that's some power, is that, whether it was me who did it or anybody else, you can't deny that is some power, and that power was breaking barriers. And you don't know who's watching YouTube. People can go on from any kind of class, or whether it be film stars or whatever. You go on YouTube and watch these things, and it was breaking ground, there's no doubt about it, breaking down barriers, which I suppose they have to take it down, really.
Well, it's a life-changing documentary. I mean, it really is. I mean, I've met people that you would never have expected to even be interested in that sort of stuff. And the reason that they are interested in it and they do know about these things is because they came across your YouTube documentary. Well, they came across it on YouTube, and not through anywhere else, but just looking up World War II and your documentaries come up, they've seen that, and from only knowing the establishment version, they suddenly got interested in what happened with the Holler hoax, you know, this gas chamber fraud, and they never had any suspicion of that there was anything up with it before until they came across your documentary, and of course they just found it on a normal Google search. Because it gets so many views, it obviously must be quite high up in the rankings in Google. It must, you know, it must appear quite near the top of the page for people, and not just, you know, nationalists or people into conspiracy.
Mainstream,
mainstream.
It really is. It was breaking through. The problem is that I don't know many people what came up to me over the last, you know, years or so. I really loved history at school because you sit at school and you're that bored with history and they're teaching in such a mundane way that half the class fall asleep, which is exactly what they want anyway. So suddenly when people watch this documentary, and as you've seen the documentary yourself, it sucks you in with all the music and the actual story of it all. It sucks you in to a point where at times you actually believe you're there. And again, I've had numerous emails of people saying halfway through the documentary, they couldn't believe they're on Hitler's side. Because everything was all falling into place. All the gaps, all these questions what these people have had over the years were suddenly all falling into place and making more sense than what the Allied versions ever did. Because obviously they were lying. So, you know, people who weren't normally interested in history, who usually fell asleep, were suddenly hooked. And so that's, you know, I'll put all that together with the truth about one of the biggest events in the history of mankind. It was a powerful piece of work, and they knew it were. So, you know, I mean, they've been trying to squeeze the life out of it for quite a while now, because it were banned in 20 countries. Even though it had 750,000 hits, it was banned in 20 countries to start with. So they've been attacking the website every now and again. They did attack it that week that they did the purge on YouTube as well. So there is somebody out there who wants this documentary taken down, and probably has a great love for me as well at the same time.
Has the website had any DDoS attacks, any DDoS attacks?
Yes, I was talking to the lads, like I said, they had quite a number of attacks this week. You know, they're always getting attacked, but they said it was more than usual. I mean, I'm not particularly website familiar, but they are, and so they're pretty secure in what they're doing, like, you know.
Well, this is a hypocrisy. I mean, what you've got on there is you're basically showing what happened during the war. You've got the references there. Anything that was questionable or wasn't definite, you didn't put into the documentary. It, you know, most of it is footage that there's, you know, it's official footage, and the that you've got official quotes there from people. And it's established facts that most people aren't aware of. I mean, it's established facts that are in there. And yet they choose to ban that. You know, they don't want people to know the established facts. I mean, it's not like you're speculating about things. You're just putting across exactly what happened.
Yeah, you know? Well, it's like they say, truth is no defence in the courts these days. And that goes across the board. It goes on YouTube as well, doesn't it?
Do you know of any other documentaries that have got taken down? Because I know people say that documentaries get taken down. That they'll remove stuff about the Jews, but the conspiracy stuff, I bet Alex Jones doesn't get any of his stuff taken down.
No. Well, you've just hit on a point there, actually, because a while back, what's he called now? Mark Dice, who you may or may not be aware of, and I've always thought were a bit of a shill himself, had his channel taken down for some reason. And Alex Jones managed to get it back up and was bragging about it, and still brags about it on YouTube. You can still get the YouTube video and brags how he's got contacts in YouTube. He was able to get Mark Dice. He didn't even put a claim in. You know, he just made a phone call and got Mark Dice's video put back up on YouTube within half an hour, which tells me, you know, something is not quite right there, because if anybody can phone up Google or YouTube, these pillars of this institution against the truth, and in half an hour you can have a channel reinstated, something can't be right, because I'm quite sure he couldn't Well, he might be able to do that for me, but I don't think he'd want to.
Yeah. I mean, people like David Icke, I mean, they have their videos on there, their speeches on there. You know, they talk about censorship, but they don't get censored. Their information is out there. But they cover up the Jewish side of it. They call them reptiles, or they just talk about the Rothschilds.
That's right. Well, they're there to deflect. Well, something like, I know there was a documentary on Israel, how racist Israel was. That was taken down. I managed to download that before it was taken down. All these subjects on the truth, really. Because every other single documentary about Hitler, you know, flying off in a flying saucer to Argentina, dressing up as Merlin and doing some magic tricks, like, I'll stay up.
That's pretty much like some of them, I think. When you look at the titles of them when they appear, but you know they're quite happy to have pictures of sexually explicit pictures of children on there. They're quite happy to promote pornography on there, but you're just basic facts taken from historical documentaries of World War II and facts taken from books,
sources.
Backed up with all the sources, has got to be taken down.
Yeah, well, funny thing happened on Vimeo, because on Vimeo you can buy your actual page and promote it really professionally. So the guys at the website did just that, and then they got an email saying the content of your video is not in with our thoughts and presentation of Vimeo. So here's your money back. And then I went on Vimeo not long after. Someone sent me a link, and Alistair Crowley's Church, the RTO, a full hour of mass was on.
So a full black mass is okay.
Yeah, a naked woman sat on an altar light holding a knife for an hour, you know what I mean?
Oh, that's typical.
makes you wonder what this world's coming to, you know.
Well, I learned the other day in Australia they've got an anti-vilification law, anti-vilification of homosexuals, and they've actually used that to prosecute people for criticising the OTO, Aleister Crowley and the OTO.
Yeah.
And people criticised it, and they got silenced through this law, that you're not allowed to criticise them.
Well, New Zealand came out with one, I believe, as well, and it says, if anybody verbally abuses or puts material up on the internet, which... is abusive or classed as hate, and for instance, if somebody was abused so much that they had a heart attack and died, you know, you'd be liable for prison and all this kind of carry on. So basically what it is if you tell somebody in an argument to go forth and multiply, this law applies to stop all this going on the internet, but they could slightly twist it and say somebody watched this documentary and had an heart attack and suddenly the producers are being hunted down for murder or manslaughter. You know, that's how crazy it could turn, just on a simple law.
They blame the people rather than... they blame the people that created it rather than the people that are watching it for being unbalanced. Exactly. In cases like that. I mean, it's like... You know, I mean, I've said this so many times on these podcasts. You know, when you're a kid, you get taught that, you know, saying that somebody else told me to do it is not a suitable defence. You know,
exactly.
Told, if somebody said, go and jump off that cliff, would you do it?
Yeah.
No, you know, it's not a suitable defence to say somebody told me to go and do something. And these laws, these hate speech laws, I mean, it's not like people are saying go out and attack blacks even. They're just putting out, you know, the facts. And then somebody goes out and does attack them like this Dylan Roof. And then you've got people blaming, you know, the websites that expose this black and white crime as if it's their fault.
Yeah.
It's not. Well, you know, you're responsible, aren't you, for what your own actions? You are responsible for your own actions, regardless of what anybody else says.
Well, it's a bit like the immigrant situation, you know, where if you get, you know, a British trucker will get fined £2,000 if suddenly they find an immigrant in the back of his truck. And if they got, God help him, he's got five in the back of his truck. So they're actually penalising, you know, the British companies or the British truckers just because immigrants are trying to get into this country. And what's ironic is by the time they got through all the barriers to get into this country, they find out exactly what it's like anyway and want to go back home.
Yeah, well, they complain about being oppressed there and try and change the laws.
But well, I heard two Polish immigrants the other week, they found it that hard over here, they decided to go back to Poland.
But it's not as easy as it's not as easy and as good as a make out, really. But they're still going to come here, especially if they've got something wrong with them and they need hospital medication, or the kids, the parents will just stick the kids on the boat and send them over here because they know that because they're underage, they'll have to be put into a school, they'll have to be looked after because they're children, and then once they go up, they can apply to have all their family.
I wish that applied to us.
Yeah.
Still living here.
Yeah. They won't do it for white people. They won't allow South Africans to come over here as refugees from the... it is declared war against them over there in South Africa.
That's a fair point.
Kill the Boer song they sing. I mean, I was going to say it's an undeclared war against whites over there, but it is. It's a declared war against whites.
Without a doubt.
By the very officials, by the people running things that sing this song.
Yeah, well, someone asked me the other day about, the Muslims, and I said, well, back when World War II was on and the Muslims fought side by side with the Germans against godless communists, and they spilled blood for the cause. But things have changed today where the Jews are using the Muslims as a weapon, flooded Europe. So it's got to the point now where the white race is on the brink of distinction. So something drastic has got to be done. And, as I said, times have changed now, and it's send them all back to where they come from. Now it's you've got to look after your own. But they're being used as a weapon, and most of the people don't realise that it's, the Christian, the cat and the dog, the Muslim are put in a cage and the Jew sits outside watching the fight. Because people don't question, how did those Muslims get here in the first place? They just look at the Muslim and say, we're losing our jobs and, this, that and the other. But they don't look who actually let them in the first place. And you just can't send a couple of million Muslims into Europe without having permission from somewhere.
That's more than permission. It was encouragement, isn't it? I mean, they encouraged them here. The Labour Party sent out scouting parties to get them and invite them into the country. And then it said, well, you've got to vote for us once you're in. And then
anybody speaks out.
If you look at people that worked out all these laws to prevent criticism of immigration, it's all Jews behind that. All this Hate Speech Act, the Race Act, all these speech laws were started off by these Jewish pressure groups and by these Jews that are in Parliament.
I'll tell you what did slay me the other day, and that was the Rainbow White House.
God, yeah, that was a shock to see that, wasn't it?
I mean, that's not his place to put a rainbow. That building belongs to the people of the nation. And if there's a big section of that nation doesn't believe in these homosexual gay marriage laws, then it's an insult to them to have a rainbow plastered over that White House anyway. They are taking some liberties. I know they won World War II, but they are starting to strut now, aren't they?
I mean, doing that, I mean, that's saying we have taken over. The queers have taken over. We have turned the White House into a symbol for queerdom.
Babylon.
For sodomy. That's what doing that did. And that's the subconscious effect of seeing that.
Big sign that, yeah.
We are in charge, us queers, we are in charge.
Well, it isn't just the fact that, they're putting that up, but it's with everything else, with the immigration, and, it just sends out a big message that Hitler's gone. There's no SS now to frighten us to death. We managed to get over that one. There's no military threat. We can do what we want. We're going to put a rainbow on the White House.
Sickening. But just to go back to when we were talking about censorship, and one of the accusations that get levelled against the National Socialists was that they censored people and they burnt books and all of this. And we all remember seeing these pictures of these books being thrown onto a fire. But from looking into that, you found out that was a student union that were doing that. It wasn't an official burning of the books by the National Socialist regime. It was the students themselves in the colleges.
It was a natural reaction to it all, wasn't it?
Disgusting.
It wasn't orchestrated.
Pornography, so someone said, I'm burning this communism. Room. That's what they were burning. Communist literature and pornography is what they were burning because they didn't want it.
Yeah. Well, they were under the threat all the time because I think they took over the parliament for about 3 days after World War One, and they got wiped out eventually, you know, in street battles. But, you know, that threat of communism was always there in Germany. And like I said before, after World War One, they only had 100,000 army, which makes you wonder, you know, why they actually brought that law in, because, you know, I'm quite sure the people at Versailles knew that, you know, there's always a threat of communism to Germany, and they have been, the bankers had funded the Bolsheviks, so it makes you wonder whether they're trying to make it easy for Germany to be taken over. But luckily, like, they managed to wipe out the communists, the Spartacus uprising, before it could really get hold. So, yeah, I mean, it's a crazy world, you know. But, you know, the Germans got defeated, and hence we are in a world and paying for it.
Well, you look at that, and you look at the students saying, look, we don't want this. And they were getting rid of the pornography and the communism, and the National Socialists in power were supportive of that. You know, this is a good thing. And you contrast that with today, where you've got YouTube just silencing you, Dennis, and silencing your documentary while at the same time promoting filth on there, absolute filth. I mean, just before we started this program off, you were telling me about some film that you were watching the other day, which I thought this describes it perfectly, if you want to tell the listeners about it.
Well, can I just say, just before we leave this subject, that what the excuse they use in books, by the way, when they show these pictures of boot burning, they don't put underneath the Germans are burning the, you know, the Jewish porn or, you know, the communist literature. They actually say, here are the Germans destroying a culture. That's what they say. That's what they put under a photograph of the boot burning in Berlin, the destruction of a culture.
Now, I remember seeing that, the culture. And that's the way that they put it across, as if they were getting rid of culture. Yeah. Hey, look at what the culture was. Reaction. Look at that despicable, disgusting artworks. And they call that culture.
Exactly. But to get on to what the reason, you know, people might think like I'm taking a couple of minutes to get into gear today, because I've only just woke up because I had a late night researching, and I came across a Disney film. I came across how I got to this point, so I'll never know. But I came across a trailer, and I remember a while back of Disney wanting to remake all the films that we all had as we were children, but they've been taken over by Jews, and obviously I've noticed one or two of the movies, not without actually watching them, but came across Dark from the bits of scenes I saw. So I watched the trailer of Angela Jolie, what's it called now? Maleficent.
Angela Jolie,
yeah,
I was gonna say.
Yeah. And which is a remake of apparently of Sleeping Beauty, and in the original Sleeping Beauty, Prince Charming comes along and wakes her up from this curse, kisses her on the lips, and they live happily ever after. So I'm watching this film, and it's the darkest Disney film I've ever seen. I've got her dressed like Satan with two big horns on her head, living in a forest with massive black wings, which is Lucifer, the fallen angel, if ever I saw him. And she put this curse on this child after mass battles with the kings and his armies, which, again, if you're 12, like, you know, you've been reeling, you know, there's actual effects. I've got to be honest, the effects were simply amazing, but it certainly wasn't the kind of Sleeping Beauty movie that I can remember. Anyway, to cut a long story short, they did have a Prince Charming in the movie to come along and kiss her, but when he kissed her, it didn't work. again, to cut a long story short, the hero of the movie was the Wicked Witch, who kissed the girl on the forehead, because apparently it's only a true love kiss what awakens her from this lifetime of a coma. And she kissed her on the forehead, and she woke up. So at the end of the film, after coming across as Lucifer, an evil angel with orange sticking out of her head looking like Satan, she was the actual good guy at the end of it all. And Prince Charming, we're nowhere to be seen, to be honest, the wimpiest Prince Charming I've ever seen in my life anyway. But yeah, it was interesting, because if you watch from the angle of a 10 or a 12 year old, I mean, the effects are fascinating and wonderful. God knows how many millions he spent on this film. But at the end of the day, the moral of the story is if you go out into the woods at 10 or 12 years old and bump into a guy with big horns or a woman with big horns and big black wings who looks like Satan or Lucifer, don't be too worried, because really, she's a good guy or he's a good guy.
Well, I was going to say, the fact that you've got the Wicked Witch that kisses her with the true love kiss, and you've got lesbian overtones there as well. Did she grow up and have a gay marriage with the Wicked Witch?
Well, no, but Prince Jeremy was nowhere to be seen, so who knows?
So that would be implied by it. And you've got the wimpy Prince Charming. So he would have been white if they were portraying him as wimpy.
He was white. Yeah, I'll give you that one.
And when you first told me this, I thought, I bet there was a Negro Prince Charming. But they've gone one better and had the Wicked Witch as the Prince Charming then.
Yeah, exactly. So that's one reason why I'm a little bit drowsy today, because obviously we had a time to start the show, and we're 10 minutes late. So,
well, that's all right. I mean, I don't think it's coming across you sounding awake enough to me. But this is just it. I mean, this is the agenda that they're trying to push now. Is the homosexual agenda
for sure? Yeah. Well, this what was the one that came out at Christmas? I can never remember these films. And that had homosexual undertones. The cartoon. Can't for life from it, because I don't watch that many Disney films these days. But there is an agenda, especially in Disneyland itself in America, where they have gay days. I mentioned that in the Communism by the Back Door documentary.
Oh, I remember seeing that. That's just beyond belief, isn't it? I mean, you've got a children's park, a children's theme park, and they have homosexual days there, so all the queers can go there.
Uh-huh.
And what about kids don't kids and their families turn up and don't know that it's queers only day?
Well, this is right, because they had an airplane going over warning people that it was gay day on such a day. But how bad is that when you've got to warn children not to go to a Disney park on a certain day because you may be influenced by watching men and women kissing each other.
Exactly. What were they going to be getting up to there as well? I mean, it's just
Babylon. It is Babylon. Yeah. I mean, got a rainbow white house. You got Disneyland full of gays. It's like, Prince Charming is nowhere to be seen, and the Wicked Witch ends up the hero of the film. What's going on? Tell me, Sven.
Yeah. Well, it's do you remember when they said, I mean, the queers said that they were going to queerify all our old heroes and people from history, and they were going to make them out to have been queer. And anyone that had anyone that was noble, that had a noble friendship, they tried to say that they were actually queer.
Yeah.
They even said this about King David. He was queer with his friend Jonathan. So they took people from history and made them out to be queer. I mean, what they're trying to do, it seems to me, what they're trying to do now with this is trying to turn people from the fairy tales into queers as well, from the kids' folk tales, and trying to take over them now.
They're forcing schools, aren't they, as well, to do certain things to accept certain laws. I know there was a... some school was told that they had to teach about homosexuality, or the teachers would be fired, or the headmaster would be fired, something like that. It's all planned, and like, as I look at it, it's getting closer to Babylon every day, because just a pit of evil in America at the moment.
Oh yeah, I mean, this is the stuff that's being promoted, while at the same time, a factual view of history is being silenced.
Well, can I just say as well, don't call me unpatriotic, because, I'm not a great lover of women's football at any nation, at any level, right? I mean, it's a man's game to me, it's football, always will be. But when they got knocked out of the Women's World Cup, I was so glad, because I was just getting the feelings of the rumblings about to happen if they'd have won the World Cup. Women are better at football now than men, and etc. So I was quite pleased when Japan beat them.
Well, I think women's football, I think that's just a mockery. It's just a mockery of men. If you're unfortunate enough to catch a glimpse of it, And it just looks like a total mockery of a men's
exactly.
football
then,
game.
Of course, well, then, of course, they brought in, you know, I think they've got at least one woman's linesman. And I think it was Andy Gray and one of the other Sky presenters was lost their jobs because they made some kind of remark, which they classed as anti-feminist, and they got sacked. And I think Ron Atkinson, if you remember, he got sacked for calling one of the Chelsea players a lazy nigger. So he lost his job as well. So it's all politically correct, and it affects everybody in all ways of life, you know.
When you see the, you know, the women playing this football game, you see the women running, and when you first catch a glimpse of it, you think, football, it's blokes. What? You know, they're running like women. They are women. And then you see, like, one of them, get, you know, like they score a goal or whatever, and you see them being all girly. And again, like, I mean, you're thinking that it should be men because it's football, but then look at the way they're acting. You know, it's
exactly.
really offensive.
Well, no,
that's what I mean. It's like a mockery because it's
11 butch lesbians, don't they?
Yeah, it really is a mockery of men, and you know, and that really sort of brings it home to me as seeing it in the football. But you can see from that in everything, every male sphere that has women in it imitating men.
Well,
it's a mockery of men. That's what they're doing. They're mocking men by doing
well, I'm going to be a bit. I'm going to be a bit controversial here because I don't know whether you remember the case of the footballer was charged with rape. And served a number of years in prison, came out and wanted to pick up his football career, and meanwhile was challenging the decision anyway at the appeal court. And every time he tried to get a football club, this feminist movement on the internet especially, and the girl, I don't know what she called, who won the gold medals, she was half gassed. Sky used her quite a lot on the advertising. And she, I think it was Sheffield United who wanted him to play for him, and she had her name across the stand or something. She threatened to have her name taken off because she was this Olympic hero, exact. So, to be honest, the guy tried several places. I think Oldham wanted to sign him, but again, you know, the directors got threats off these people. And all right, he was he always pleaded that it wasn't rape. He was done for rape by the courts, but he was appealing even after serving his sentence anyway. So, and as far as I know, the guy now is still not working anywhere, well, not as a footballer, which I totally found to be totally wrong, because her excuse, this athlete off Sky, was saying, it won't be so bad if he turned around and apologise. But how can he apologise when it was appealing the decision? And it was just rough justice to me, and it's just crazy when, you know, his years are ticking by as a footballer. I mean, the same happened with Tyson. I didn't believe for 1 minute that Tyson raped anybody, but he was accused of rape. I mean, she went back to his hotel room, and similar as with this football, at 2 o'clock in the morning. You don't go back to, you know, with Mike Tyson to an hotel at 2 o'clock in the morning for a cup of tea. She knew exactly what she was doing. The next day, her mother got into her and said, we can make some money out of this. Mike Tyson then serves three years, whatever, and he's banned from coming to fight in this country as a rapist, whether it be black, white, or pink or blue. You know, I just think it's the whole system was wrong, and it's all geared to this politically correct women.
No, I think the footballer that you're on about, I think in that instance, didn't she sleep with one of his mates as well?
And
then she accused him of rape. Now, I think the other one that she slept with was black. So I think she slept with a few of them in this hotel room, and then decided to pick on him and say that she was raped. So he stood by it all the time and said, no, it wasn't rape. And yet, she slept with these others in the hotel room, they decided to pick on him. Yeah, they made a big fuss about this. And even though he's done his time, they still want his blood. You know, they want their pound of flesh from him, don't they?
Yeah, because he can't even work abroad. I think Malta, a football club in Malta, wanted to sign him. But again, they wouldn't allow it. You know, the judge said, you're not allowed to leave the country. And what happens, you know, if this drags on for 2 or 3 years now, like, and his appeal is won, for instance, what happens then? Does anybody apologise? No. Has he lost his best years as a footballer? Yeah.
Well, they never apologise, do they? If the papers get it wrong or something, you know, if you're lucky, you'll get a correction right at the back of the paper in small print.
Exactly.
This is just it. This is the way that the Jews work, isn't it? They'll attack people. They'll come up with total slurs and slanders. And then if it does get found out that it's wrong, then by that time someone's career is finished. And they've just admitted it at the back of the paper.
Yeah, I mean, to actually take a newspaper to court anyway is impractical for any working man anyway, because the cost of the court, and of course it can go on for years. So there's no real justice. I mean, I was quite pleased once over when the Daily Mirror accused Liberace of being gay, and he actually took him to court because he was filthy rich, and won the case. You know, saying that he weren't gay, which cost Daily Mirror a lot of money. But I was quite pleased in one way because, you know, newspapers, you know, the press are what they are. In fact, I had a run in once a few years ago where they actually phoned me up on a Friday at 5 minutes to 5 when the solicitors were closing for certain things that they were going to put in a paper on the Monday and asked me for my thoughts. And when I said to the reporter on the phone, "Well, this is a fine time to call me at 5 to 5. And he said, "That's exactly why we called you at this time." So I said, "Well, you're going to print whatever you're going to print. So my only comment is go forth and multiply." Yeah. Which he did.
Yeah, well, I mean, you know they're going to twist your words anyway.
Sure.
If you give them an interview, they're just going to twist your words.
He was laughing as I was speaking, you know.
I mean, this is why they're so terrified of your documentary, because they're
talking.
Because, you know, you've got a platform there where you can speak the truth, where you can tell people what really happened during the war, and they are powerless to stop it. Really, I mean, they've taken it all offline. They've taken this lot offline, but I'm sure it's not going to be long before it's uploaded again. I mean, have you got plans to do that? Is that in motion?
I think the thing is, really, I think as soon as it goes up and any of these Jews what scout along YouTube, because there are a couple of Facebook pages where they actually, these Jews have an organisation where they all go onto YouTube, target a certain video, and then they all attack it, and then the next day it's taken down. So rather than put it up as a full movie again, we'll probably link it, like say to True Tube or the website, you know. But don't get me wrong, you know, I'm expecting stronger attacks on the website. I mean, I can remember going on Ernst Zundel's site not too long back, probably still the same now, and when you tapped it into Google, and a page would come up and say, you know, "This is a dangerous website, you will get, you know, malware or viruses or something." So anybody who was going on it, you know, they're obviously trying to scare it away. You know, so they'll probably do that with ours.
I was going to say, I know you've had it taken off before, but you've uploaded it again. I mean, if you think they're looking for the actual music, then that might make it a bit more awkward. But you could always just sort of change the title a bit and sign up for YouTube again with different accounts, upload it again. I know it's a big shame because it was almost near a million, you know, the amount of views.
Yeah, well, it is possible, but the thing is, though, is that although they've picked on the soundtrack now, they'll always find an excuse to take it down. That is the problem. That's the it's not the music. It's not the, you know, what's being said. It is what's being said. It's the message that it's sending. That's what they want to stop. And some bright spark must have thought, well, let's mute all the videos about it so nobody can hear what's going on. Which is what they did. But I think if you got around that one, then they think of another reason taking it down. And what really annoys me is when they come in all this copyright, is that all the footage of the SS, I don't believe for 1 minute they've given any surviving SS soldiers any copyright, you know, any compensation. You know, all Hitler's footage in these documentaries, Allied documentaries, who's paying the copyright towards that? Nobody, you know what I mean? So.
Well, yeah, where's the royalties going?
Exactly, yeah.
So you're saying What they've actually done, they've muted the soundtrack, but left it up there. Have they? Is that what they've done?
Well, initially, with the official one, they muted the soundtrack, and if you clicked on it, you just got the pictures. But I went on it the other day, and I couldn't even get anything. It was just totally blocked. So whether or not they've done that with just that particular version, or they've done it with them all, I don't know. But the first thing was to mute them all. But they've got, like I said, they've got the power to do whatever they want.
I was going to say, a lot of it is text anyway, isn't it? I mean, you could put and as long as you've got it elsewhere, so that people can find the original version on TrueTube or your site, or get it on DVD, you could put it up there on YouTube with some kind of soundtrack, which some kind of jokey soundtrack or something, pointing out the fact that YouTube have taken this down because they're trying to silence it, and then sort of leave the text there.
Maybe, yeah, well,
and point them to your site. Point people to your site to find the original version.
On the official one, on the day that they muted the track, the guys put up a thing on screen saying YouTube have decided to mute the soundtrack of this and others. Please visit the website to watch the documentary. And that's when I went on the day after, and that had gone as well. But listen, there's more than one way to skin a cat. And let's be honest, if it weren't true and it weren't hurting them, it wouldn't be taken down.
Yeah, well, they wouldn't be bothered by it if it wasn't in effect. I mean, I'm trying to think of the exact quote that it is, but it's something like, if they're not attacking you, then you're not doing the right thing. Every day, if you can get them to attack you every day somewhere, then you're definitely doing the Lord's work.
Yes, of course, of Hitler's, though, isn't it? Yeah.
Yeah, I can't think exactly what one it is, but I mean, it's so true.
Yeah, of course it is. Yeah. It says, if you're not getting attacked by them, you're not doing the Lord's work. So I must be doing the Lord's work, and let's hope it's enough to get me through the gates, eh?
that's the way it is. I mean, these people that like David Icke, Alex Jones, they claim that they're being attacked, but they don't get attacked.
They never get censored. And they claim to be. They can even call the Queen a reptile.
Well, this is just it. They go for these soft targets that are just, they're just front pieces, really. They're not the real enemy. They're just, these fake targets that the enemy likes to put up that they want people to concentrate on instead.
Well, with Alex Jones's case, he does tell a lot of truth, but it's truth which doesn't really affect anything. But what that causes is for anybody who comes along on on the internet, again, he's high up in the search engines, and they'll find this Alex Jones. And like I said, a lot of it is what he says is true. And so for 3 years, they're going round in circles and never finally getting to a defined ending. They're just going round and round and round and round. And meanwhile, he's throwing in the UN is a Nazi organization, or the Nazis, through paperclip and now taking over the American government. And because they've researched other things that he said were true, and he did this thing in the Bohemian Grove where, he went in there filming and supposed to this big story. But it wastes 3 or 4 years of your life looking for the truth. And that's what they do, and they do it well. And he's a millionaire, and his Infowars.com looks like a glossy news channel. They're good at what they do, then. They are good at what they do. But then money helps, doesn't it? That documentary was on a shoestring, and it's caused destruction.
Well, this is just it. It just shows you what you can do if you've got the inspiration there with the tools that are now available, isn't it?
Oh, just for definite. Yeah, I mean, to produce a documentary at the level I did, 15, 20 years ago, it would cost you an absolute fortune to go into a recording studio or a video outlet place, where they make videos. I can remember paying £1,500 once for a 3-minute promo, and it was rubbish. I did a better job after that. In fact, I think that's when I found out I was quite good at it. So, yeah, a 6.5-hour documentary, which nobody really wants to touch, would have been astronomical. But nothing, nothing compared to this Disney film I watched today.
Well, yeah, it's too late, really, isn't it? I mean, the cat's out of the bag. They're trying to silence it, but it's already been seen by, you know, it must have been seen by more than a million people.
One they took down had half a million. The one ours had 750,000. There were a couple of others up there in parts at part one and part two, mounted to about 500,000. So, and that's just on YouTube. That's not mentioning the people that come to the site. So it's out there now, and people investigating World War II from now till the end of time. This documentary will always be mentioned, and people will always search for it.
Well, this is it. Since they haven't banned it until now, that many people have seen it, and in that time, you've managed to set up the other site. You've managed to set up DVD versions of it. You've got it put up at TrueTube, so people are still going to be able to find it.
Especially if they're internet savvy, you know, they'll find it no problem. But people who aren't so much, you know, if a little bit of digging, they'll come across it. But what I must say, like, is that what they try to do on YouTube as well, which people are probably unaware of, is they called another documentary Adolf Hitler, the greatest story ever told, and the biggest load of garbage you've ever seen. It's about World War II, but it's just been thrown together just to throw people off the scent. So if anybody new came along and found that one, they would watch it, and after 5 minutes think, well, a lot of crap, and turn it off. So, you know, they have different ways of doing things. Obviously, they put that up for a reason under that title to fool people.
Well, yeah, I was going to say, I mean, that's obviously an attempt to put...
Well, I put a complaint in. I put a complaint in, but it's still up there.
What are their rules for people using the same titles for videos or films?
Well, there are no rules if it helps their cause.
Yeah, I was going to say, have you got it copyrighted, the name? Have you sent it off to get it copyrighted yourself?
Well, the problem is, right, is that I use a lot of footage. Most of the footage was taken off YouTube and in the public domain, but, you know, people, the music people, like, who are Jews especially, don't particularly want their music associated with redeeming Adolf Hitler. So there was a lot of 6.5, you know, probably worth some copyright broken, but no more than any others on YouTube. And so we just decided not to sell it as such, but to give it away free. If people wanted to, to pay a membership to the website, they got the 6.5 hour thing free. And I also made the decision, because some people said to me, don't put the last episode up. You know, more people will come to buy it. But I said, that's not really I don't do it for that particular reason. Yeah, we need the funds, because I can't accept any funds, because you can just track me down. So, you know, the only way we could do it is by selling the DVD, or not actually selling it, giving away free with a membership. So we weren't actually breaking any copyright, because we're giving away free. But the point being is that people can still do that now, and probably more people will come to the website and do it. But I made a decision to put up the final episode, because the truth is the truth. And not, even though it was a letter quality 6.5 hour version, which, I mean, the best quality would have took a year and a half to upload anyway, but we put a reasonably qualified quality version up on YouTube for people to watch, and got 750,000 hits. So it wasn't a question about making any money or anything. It was a question about getting the truth out there. And like you said, once it's out there, once the rabbit's out of the bag or the genie's out of the bottle, it don't go back in again, you know.
No, there's no way that they can get that back in again. And I should imagine, even when they just decided to take the soundtrack off, I mean, that just must have made them look even dafter, because people would have looked at that and instantly thought, well, they're trying to silence this. They're trying to put people off from viewing this. One of the reasons that I'd heard before for them taking videos down is they say that it's copyrighted footage, that it belongs to somebody else, the film itself. But
and anyone can put a copyright claim in, you know, anybody, you know, and they'll take it down till it's proven differently. But the problem is, like, you know, to prove it's your copyright, for instance, you know, you got to give all your details and, you know, all your, you know, probably identity, photograph and all that kind of carry on. So people won't bother, you know what I mean, in our game anyway, where we've got to stay low.
Obviously you can't do that. You know, that would be taking a risk. But isn't there a fair use? You say that
it's
for public viewing or something.
Yeah, but it's the old thing, isn't it? They won World War II and they met the rules up. So if a video on there has got a fair use warning, they'll watch it, and if they agree with it, it'll stay up. But if they watch it, they don't agree with it, it comes down. That's a fact of life that I've known for a long time now, Sven. You know what I mean? You can literally spend, well, not hours. I mean, this last part 9 of Communism by the Back Door, I've been working on now for at least 2 months. Can't get it the way I want it. I'm still working on it, but people just think it's a 15-minute video. What's taking so long? Because sometimes you can try things and you've got an idea of how to put things across, and when you've done it and you've spent a month doing it, and then you look at it, it doesn't really work. You go back to the drawing board again. And that happened with me, episode on Hollywood. That should have came out part 5. But instead, I had to put it on back burner, did another couple of episodes, and then eventually finished the Hollywood, and it came out at part 8. So for people out there, I do apologise if they're waiting for part 9 to come, but sometimes if it's not good enough, I won't put it up, or if I can't get the point over, I won't put it up. I'll just go back to the drawing board till I get it right. And unfortunately, part 9 is proving a bit of a pain. But yeah, when they take these videos down YouTube, even if it's 15 minutes, even if it's 2 minutes, there's quite a bit of work involved. But because we're in the fight we are in, and we want to get the truth out there, it doesn't particularly bother me, because when they took me other videos down, they closed me other channel, Truth Without channel, down. I had some videos where I was one of the first to put kind of modern music with shots of Hitler and the Reich, etc., which had an appeal to a lot of people rather than the German brass band. And channels down, that's when I decided to do the documentary. So I managed to do the documentary, and that's caused them even more pain. So hopefully by attacking the documentary this time, it'll inspire me to give them even more pain.
Well, that's good to hear. That's good to hear, because you do like to think that, don't you? That they are there as this force for us to push against, and by pushing against that force, we better ourselves, and just add to positive things for our race and for ourselves, and improve ourselves, and discover more things about ourselves by fighting against them, basically.
Exactly. Well, sometimes I get emails off people, and they can't criticise the documentary, but all they go on about, usually Jews or Zionists, whatever, and they go on about the documentary, and they go, copyright you. How can this be a documentary because you brought this copyright? And I'll just send them a simple explanation. I'll send it back, and I'll say, if a freedom fighter finds a weapon against the oppressive army who's occupying their country, he finds a rifle and picks it up, he's going to use it. He ain't going to put it down and say, I can't use this because it's copyright.
Yeah, good point. It's all through struggle that Hitler achieved what he did. My struggle.
Well, you can march peaceably from now till the end of time. These people do not move by marching peaceably. The only reason is because they won the World War. And there's only going to be another world war going to move them, because no voting's going to move them, no marching's going to move them, because 6 years they fought, to put Hitler down. They ain't going to give it up so easy. They don't give it up with a vote of democracy. No way.
Yeah, I'm not sure we can hold out any hope with democracy. I think we can just hold out hope as it all starts crumbling down around us and falling apart around us, then is it something that's going to arise and we're there when it does.
Exactly,
sowing the seeds of that now and forming the groups of that now. And, that's what the Daily Stormer is about.
Who'd have thought the Soviet Union would have collapsed? With all their sophisticated spying and KGB and control of communism and not allowing people out of the Soviet Union, who expected that to collapse? So if that can collapse, anything can collapse.
This can collapse, and things happen in God's time. When God wills it, it happens. That's just the way I look at it. That's the way I look at it. But that doesn't mean you just sit there and do nothing until that happens.
No, exactly. Because it's a war, but I looked at the White House the other day. I thought, well, if he's seen that, is pretty sure going to bring that day of revelation forward.
Definitely, definitely. The sooner the better. Okay, yeah. Well, yeah, that sort of brings us to the end of the podcast, I think, Dennis. If you just want to let people know where they can find a copy of Greatest Story Never Told and Communism by the Back Door.
Yeah, well, Communism by the Back Door, as I said, is up on my channel. With one or two episodes banned in Germany and a couple of other countries, but mainly at the moment, like that looks to be pretty ban-free. You can catch that on the Dennis Wise channel on YouTube. And, of course, the Greatest Story Never Told.tv website, which now, thanks to TrueTube, we can still watch after the purge by the communist Judea YouTube.
Okay, so look the documentaries up there. And thank you very much for listening, and we do hope you'll tune in again next time.